Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Listen to the words put to verse in music from Psalm 51, the words of David. Gracious God, my heart renew, make my spirit right and true. Cast me not away from Thee, let Thy Spirit dwell in me. Thy salvation's joy impart, steadfast make my willing heart. Reading from God's holy word, as we find it in Romans chapter 9, continuing with the thoughts and ways of Paul, describing himself and his thinking concerning his brethren, according to the flesh. Romans 9, verse 2, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed, for ever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of promise are counted for seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah had also conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. So far we read God's holy and perfect word. Let's pray in his name. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus, he who is sitting with thee on the right hand of majesty, he who has been told to sit at thy right hand until he makes his enemies his footstool. And Father, we confess that as we sang last week, I was a wandering sheep, and not only wandering, but enemies to thee. And as thou dost tell us here by the pen of Paul in the same letter, that while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us, and help us to recognize it in repentance, that we're not only in unbelief, but actively enemies to the truth and to thy word. And especially, we know that there's a difficulty in understanding and submitting to these words here written by Paul, and especially, Father, in this same letter concerning the people of whom he is part of and the people for whom he is here praying and heaviness concerning them. Father, they are still there, and help us to see it. Help us to see them rightly. Help the church to be one in understanding who they are, where they are, what thou hast promised for the present, for the future, both to them and to ourselves. And Father, that we might be one in that we might give the testimony before the world, and the world will know by the oneness of the church that thou, Father, hast sent Christ, and also that we might be one in prayer, in one accord, not all in one place, but as much as possible, and more than we are, that we will be in one place, gathered together, even as Jonathan Edwards could say, having corporate prayer, having the church pray together. And we pray that we might do that as the early church did. We pray, Father, that thou wilt teach us for thy glory and for our present and eternal good. We can ask that all in the name of Christ. We also give thanks for the temporal blessings that we have, that others do not have, and we pray for them that are in suffering, of fire and wind and earthquake, hurricanes, and all the calamities that there are, those that are homeless and hungry, those that are persecuted in war-torn lands and the terribleness of it. We pray for them and give thanks, Father, for the peace that is ours and pray that it may continue. And we pray especially that there might come peace on earth, goodwill toward men through the gospel to every nation. We pray for those who need thy healing hand in the body, those in sickness and injury. We pray that thou wilt give healing. We pray for those also that will be left in their illness, that they might have the grace to bear under and to learn through it the peaceable fruits of righteousness. We pray for the homes, and we pray for the broken homes, the children in those homes, and we pray especially for the church to teach thy word concerning marriage and thy word that stands and will not fall. We have neglected it, and we pray for forgiveness, but especially that we might be changed and teach rightly, and the homes will be changed for thy glory and for the good of our nation, all through Christ. Amen. Although we know that all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, it is basically one word for all time and will stand. As Christ said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. And these here that we are reading from Paul's letter to the church at Rome will stand. As we read them, he's writing to a church and writing of himself, I think we have to sadly say, in a far different state than what most of us are today, especially the church in our country, the United States of America. We are not with Paul in heaviness and sorrow for the same people that Paul is speaking of here concerning them, his brethren according to the flesh. Our church is very much divided on who they are, where they are, what is their present state, and what is the future. And we need to learn from Paul, writing to the church here at Rome, also far different than ourselves. This was a church whose faith was known of throughout the whole world. And we read of Paul as one that was turning the world upside down. Certainly, we are not in such a church today in our country. And sadly, in the countries where the gospel has been known, particularly in the past, our country, England, Europe, and many, many, many no longer attending church in those countries. So we are a different church today than what Paul is writing to and writing of, and having a different thought than Paul himself. But we can learn from him, and we should learn from him, because the promises of God are there. As one said, we can pray in faith concerning these same people that Paul is praying for, because they will be converted. That was his belief. That is what Paul writes about further, especially in the 11th chapter. And we will come to that later. We are, sadly, ourselves, far different than the church at Rome, their faith spoken of, and ours, we are a salt that is no longer a salt in our nation, a salt that have lost its savor. As Christ said, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, when salt have lost its savor, it's only good to be trodden underfoot of men. There are those that are trying to protect ourselves, want money to try to do that, to protect ourselves from the attackers of the church. But we shouldn't be just a rear guard. We should be doing, as the song says, onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. We must give not only the call to repentance to the nation, but also must give the answer to the nation. That is the gospel of Christ. As Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And remember that he wrote that 30 years after Christ ascended, that he could still say then, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That would certainly make us question what we call replacement theology, that they are no longer recognized and we in the church are there in place of it. God says the Jew first. If you are a Gentile, not you first, or not you in place of them. They are there, God's way, and they will be there, God's way. And we need to repent if we think differently. We have here a true church that Paul is writing to. Exactly why he writes this to them, we don't know. He's probably writing to the Jewish element that they will join with him. When he says, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow, there was an element of Jewish believers in this Roman church. He wrote to them, mentioning them particularly in the earlier part, and even reproving them very strongly in the second chapter, when he states, Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou art thyself a guide of the blind, a light of them that sit in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of godliness and the truth in the law. And then he asked that question, Thou therefore which teacheth another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? And goes on mentioning other sins. So he is writing to the Jews there in that second chapter, writing of them also in the first part of the third chapter. So there is that element in this Gentile church. He is probably wanting the believers that are there in this church to join with him and pray for the same people he is praying for here. And we need to recognize that. We don't know exactly the purpose, but we know he is writing, sadly, to a different people than we are today. There may be others in the world that are more like Paul and more like this church. And those, as Paul writes to Timothy, those that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And there are those, but we are not in that number. We have the proof of it in our country by, sadly, the brokenness of the home. Yes, in the church, as well as in the rest of the nation. The church is to be blamed for the lack of teaching that we give, telling the nation, telling ourselves in the church and the home, that what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. We are not staying with that. The terrible result is there, of our homes worsening, especially in the last 50 years, from one broken home in 7 to one broken home in two, and some say even with the virus that we have experienced in the last year, that it has gotten even worse. Sadly, we are in a terrible state. The home, the situation in the home, proves it. It leaves the awful fruit of what happens to the children and their frustration. It is called mental health, but it is a spiritual lack that is bringing us to it. Wherever there is a spiritual lack, it is when we sow to the flesh, we shall to the flesh reap corruption. And we're doing that today, corrupting the nation by our homes, and corrupting the nation because the church is guilty. Yes, guilty. They have been guilty, thinking of a lighter way, the wrongness of divorce, since the Reformation. If the nation is to be changed, the home has to be changed. And if the home is to be changed, the church has to be changed. And that means you and I. We can join with Paul and say, with him, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. He was praying for his kinsman according to the flesh, but we can certainly think that and say that for our homes. And there's very much reason for it. Only if we do that, will there be hope of God restoring the home, and God, through the home, restoring the nation. The church needs to be awakened and revived. Yes, in our country, Europe and England especially, where the gospel has been such a blessing in the past. I can't speak for Africa and China, where there is persecution and much change in the last years. Other countries as well, the Arab lands. But I know what it is in our country, and sadly, the many that are in such a sad state. Paul was praying for the way of blessing for himself and for the Gentile church at Rome. Today we have, sadly, a divided church, even in regard to the people that Paul was praying for and was in sorrow for. He saw them as they were. Much every way to them were given the oracles of God. In this 9th chapter, the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, the promises, and Christ being born in their midst. So that was all there, but not recognized as it should be. They were going to a form of godliness instead of a power of the godliness in their lives and making it manifest round about them. Paul saw them as they were. He saw their blessing, but he saw their wrongness. And that's what brought the heaviness, that in spite of the great blessing, there were an unbelief and a disobedient and gainsaying people, as we read in the last verse of chapter 10. We also know that the promises stood, and Paul could pray on those promises, and they especially would come out in the 11th chapter, which we will see later. We need to see that with Paul as he writes it. And again, the church is divided on that, denying it, but it cannot be denied if we are to pray for it rightly. We also have to see the state of that people. One of the reasons they were where they were, not receiving the blessing of adoption especially, that they knew they were outside of God's covenant until they were brought in by the new birth. As God said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That all had to be true for everyone. Christ reproved Nicodemus. He says, art thou a master in Israel and knowest not these things? Sadly, there are many that I've even heard people say, I don't have to be born again. I was born right. I was born in a Christian home. That was the error of these people. Paul taught very plainly against that. Verse 8, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of promise are counted for seed. What stronger words could you get? These are not the children of God. Hear those words again. These are not the children of God. Not all those that claimed they were seed of Abraham. They claim both. We are God's children because we are children of Abraham. But they were not children of Abraham in knowledge, in understanding, in repentance, in faith. Abraham believed in him who justified the ungodly. And Paul makes it plain that we are children of Abraham if we are Christ. That was true for all of them who were born in that lineage in the flesh. They were, as John the Baptist said, say not unto yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. And though they claimed they were all children, being born in Abraham's lineage, we have much the same teaching today of those who wrongly claim they are born of believing parents and are to be counted as children of God. Again, these words, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. Especially when we think of what is called replacement theology, we think they had the blessing because they were circumcised, and God made the promise to them at the time of circumcision, which was a limited promise, a promise of the land, not a promise of eternal life. That is there in Genesis chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. We have referred to that before. God's word is very plain concerning that, and anyone claiming to be brought before God by such a way is told, these are not the children of God. That's what God's word states. That's what we must teach. We must preach. This is not sufficient. This is not the way. As Christ said to Nicodemus, I repeat again, you must be born again. I know people want to identify that with certain churches and certain denominations and don't rightly realize it's for them, don't rightly realize it's for all. All Abraham's descendants in the flesh and all the Gentile world. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And we could say right with it, except a woman be born again, she cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a child be born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God. They cannot enter into it unless they are born of water and the Spirit, which means the Word and the Spirit. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we must learn that. We must know that. And that is what Paul is teaching here. He is making it very plain by the example when he says, for this, the word of promise at this time will come, Sarah shall have a son. When God promised that to Abraham, he said, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. God says, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Ishmael was a son of the flesh, but only a son of the flesh, and sadly, a persecutor, because he was left in the flesh. And Isaac would have been the same if he had not been one that was chosen to be blessed with the everlasting covenant that would bring in the new birth. That would be part of God's predestination. Whom he calls, he justifies, and whom he justifies, them he also glorifies. That we saw in the 8th chapter, and we'll see more of it in the latter part of the 9th chapter. Sadly, that is a part, though hard to understand, hard to submit to. God makes that plain further in this chapter, but it is something that we must not only submit to, but hope in. When we are, as we sang last week, a wandering sheep, when we are as Christ died for his enemies, and we are as Abram knew, that God justified the ungodly, what hope is there for such people? If there is not the strong and mighty way of God in predestining, planning, choosing, and giving the new birth, calling in such a way that cannot be resisted. Yes, as we read in the Psalms, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, and not until then. We need to see it for both. The physical descendants of Abraham, and if we are to be spiritual descendants of Abraham today, it's also by being born again, so we can see the kingdom of God, and first of all, see ourselves outside of it, because Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. Only then, when we see that, Paul described it, and I died, learning of his sin, learning that he was no longer in the way of blessing in the lineage of Abraham. He learned by the law, guilt. And later he taught the same thing to this church at Rome, that all the world may become guilty. We read it in the 3rd chapter. Let every mouth may be stopped. And then, the gospel. The gospel, which he said earlier, is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. That's the whole way. Everyone that believeth. Yes, we come from darkness to light and believing. First of all, believing the darkness, the terribleness of it. And then believing the light and beginning to love the light, which formerly, as Christ said also to Nicodemus, everyone that does evil hates the light. Along with the wonderful words, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gives the words, the solemn words, men love darkness rather than light. And I repeat again those words, everyone that does evil hates the light, and Christ is the light. Yes, Christ said just before he died, they hated me without a cause. He said to his apostles, if they hated me, they will also hate you. And that is a way of identification of those who are God's children. Those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We're not being persecuted. Yes, we're being spoken against in our country. The atheists are speaking up. The agnostics and those who deny creation are all speaking up. But we still have the freedom. We are still not actually being persecuted. Here and there may be one who has spoken and is reproved for it. But in the main, we are not being persecuted because we are not a salt. We are not going forward. And we must. We must go forward in repentance before God. We must go forward in prayer. And we must go forward then, as David said, after confessing sin, after asking for washing, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. And we have that, Father, in the song that was sung and the little bit of it that we read. But coming once more to this doctrine, to this teaching, to joining with Paul, not only in his attitude, but in the words that he made here, and especially knowing them, Paul's kinsman according to the flesh had to learn them, that those who were born of the flesh were not the children of God. I stated before, John the Baptist said it, Christ did it, and Paul stated it. And it's true. It is only in Christ that we can be one with Abraham, one with that ungodly sinner, being justified by God through Christ. Abraham, Christ said, saw my day and was glad. And we ought to see the day of Christ, that he came to die, to shed his blood, and make us glad that there's such an answer, that there's such a way, a new and living way. And we need that. We need it with David in repentance in the church, and we need it with David and the rest of the nation, the rest of the world.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.